Come, let us adore the Prince of Peace. Come, let us worship the King of Kings. Come, let us find Emmanuel, God with us, in this space. Come, let us see this thing that has come to pass and has been made known to us.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Merry Christmas.
Christmas.
We can still say that. We're in the 12 days of Christmas. Welcome to Concordia United Methodist Church. My name is Pastor Claire Douglas, and I'm so excited to be here with all of you this morning. I have a couple of announcements. One, SOFAs will not meet on January 1st. They say see you in February. The coffee fellowship sign-up sheet for 2020 is in Fellowship Hall, so if you're willing to help out with that, that would be wonderful. And probably most importantly, to me at least, I leave this evening to drive down to Chicago, Illinois, where I'm going to get on an airplane bright and early tomorrow morning to go to Lima, Peru, where I will be for about 2 weeks. I'm going to be on a mission trip there. We're going to be working with young adults from throughout the North Central jurisdiction, as well as young adults in Peru. We're working together, so that will be really cool. So I'm really excited. But if you need pastoral attention during that time, please contact Emily or Layla, and they will get you in contact with Kendall, the pastor at Black Hawk, who can help you out while I am gone. This is one of the few times when I am not going to know how much cell phone reception I will have. But they will try to get information to me, and I will try to be able to contact all of you in those moments as well. And I will be back in the office on January 15th. So you can see me again then. Are there any other announcements? No? Will you please stand and sing with me Away in the Manger, number 217.
Please join me with the praise that's printed in your bulletin. Come away, come away, come today to Bethlehem.
Come adore on bended knee, one whose birth the angels sing.
Come away from your noisy celebration to a place of quietness and peace.
Come with wonder, come with awe, take your place among sheep and cattle.
Sing with joy. Praise God, for the time of promise has come.
Sing the good news of Emmanuel, God with us, the Christ has come.
Please join me in the prayer that's printed in your bulletin. Lord, we thank you for the birth of your Son. We not only celebrate the meaning of his life for our world, but rejoice at his continued presence and involvement in it. We thank you for that moment 2,000 years ago, and for this moment, and for those to come, when the miracle happens again, and he is here and with us yet again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please be seated. I'd like to invite the children to come forward for a special moment. Or the young at heart, either one. I don't bite, usually. I'll move closer to you because you're going to want to see this. So you guys know the nativity story, right? So who do we have up here? Who are Jesus' parents?
God.
God is one of them. Yeah, that's a good one. That's right.
Joseph and Mary.
Joseph and Mary, that's right. Good job. And who do we have above them with the wings?
Angel.
An angel, right? An angel visited. And who's carrying the sheep?
Shepherd.
Shepherd, right. And who are these other three people over here? Do you remember that? The kings, right? So the kings traveled from very far away. So it actually took them a while to get to see the baby Jesus. And we actually celebrate their day next week, right? Because they traveled a long, long way. So they wouldn't have arrived probably at exactly the moment when Jesus was born. We celebrate it next week on Epiphany Sunday, but I thought we could do it a week early. Is that okay with you? Sure. And do you remember what they brought with them for the baby?
Presents,
yeah. And they've got some hard names, right? One's easy. Gold, that's the easy one. And do you remember the other two, or do you want help from the congregation? Help? All right, congregation. Exactly. Well, I didn't bring any gold with me today, but my mother was in Oman a couple years ago, and she brought me back frankincense and myrrh. And to be honest with you, I had no idea what these things were. So they are perfumed resin. So it's like tree sap, but it smells kind of good. Do you want to smell it? Do you want to smell? No. I can understand that. So that one's frankincense. And frankincense was very, and actually is sometimes, very, very expensive. You can technically eat it. I wouldn't recommend it. And this one's myrrh. You want to smell? It smells different, doesn't it? Smells like raisins? That makes sense. They're both plants. They come from trees. You want to smell it? Yuck. Not your favorite scent? So myrrh was actually used when somebody died to help prepare them for burial. So that's a weird gift to give a baby, right? Would you want these Christmas presents? No. Not your first choice of Christmas presents? Maybe the gold? No, not even the gold? Well, these were the Christmas presents that the wise men brought the baby Jesus, and it was to remind the baby Jesus where ultimately Jesus was going to end up, dying on the cross. And then the other two were valuable things that his family could use to help take care of him. Kind of cool, huh? Now you know a little bit more about what the wise men brought. So when you are in the Christmas pageant someday and you are bringing a present forward, you can think, I am bringing tree sap. Yay. Will you pray with me? And congregation, will you pray with me too? Holy God, thank you for gifts. Thank you for the gifts we got at Christmas. And thank you for the gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The wise men brought the baby Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you guys for coming up. If any adults would like to smell the frankincense and myrrh, I'll make sure to have it in the back.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them.
That is the birth of Jesus according to the Gospel of Luke. Our wise men, friends, are actually located in Matthew. The shepherds and the wise men are not in the same place in the Christmas story for us. So we didn't get to hear about them today. As I shared before, I love Christmas. And I absolutely love Christmas carols. So I thought today we would do some singing of Christmas carols. I also really love history. So I have brought for you today where some of our beloved Christmas carols have come from. We're going to sing five of them, two verses of each. And I'll give you a little history in between. Today we are going to begin our celebration of Christmastide by singing a few Christmas carols. But before we do, I thought it might be fun to take a minute and find out where carols come from in the first place, because it's really quite a fascinating story. Now, if I was to ask you, what was the first Christmas song, what would you say? Any guesses? Silent Night? It's a beautiful one, but not the first. Well, if you listened closely a minute ago to what Emily read in our gospel lesson, you already know the answer. The first Christmas song was the one sung by none other than the army of angels who sang to the shepherds that first night. Do you remember what they sang? Luke says they sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to all." Now, even though the first Christmas song was sung by God's angels, Christmas music in general and carols in particular immediately got shoved aside, in part because it wasn't until the 4th century that anyone felt the need to celebrate Jesus' birth in the first place. Before that, the sole focus of our faith was on Easter and the resurrection. But once Christmas began to be celebrated, it wasn't until the 13th century that carols were included in worship at all. And why was that, you ask? It's because carols were originally a kind of circle dance found in pagan celebrations. And so the church didn't want anything to do with carols, even though they were very popular with the people. By 1223, St. Francis of Assisi, the patron saint of the common people, celebrated Christmas Eve by creating a stable scene in front of his church and then having his choirs sing carols especially written for the occasion. Still, it wasn't all smooth sailing for carols even after that. There have been times in history when singing Christmas carols was looked upon as heresy for being entirely too much fun. For example, in 1645, Cromwell's Parliament in England outlawed Christmas carols altogether because they were thought to be frivolous. And later here in the United States, the Puritans cast their stern gaze upon them and decided they were unfit for such a solemn occasion. Who knows what will happen in the future? But as for now, I think we would all agree that singing Christmas carols does more to get us in the Christmas spirit than just about anything else. Without Christmas carols, Christmas just wouldn't be Christmas. Let's sing a couple of carols, shall we? My first Christmas carol was written by Philip Brooks, one of the great preachers of the last century. In December 1865, Brooks fulfilled a lifelong dream and traveled to the Holy Lands, where on the day before Christmas, he rode on horseback from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. The story goes that it was evening when Brooks arrived in Bethlehem, and he was struck by the peacefulness of the moment and the peacefulness of what was then still a very quiet, out-of-the-way little town. 3 years later, back in his hometown of Philadelphia, he wanted to write a Christmas carol for the children of his congregation. So Brooks recalled his first glimpse of the village and sat down and wrote a poem. Then he asked the organist of his church, Louis Redner, to set his poem to music. But no matter what Redner tried, nothing seemed to work. And when Redner went to bed on Christmas Eve that year, he had still not written a single note of music which he needed for the very next day. But during the night, he was in a dream, he was visited by angels who sang for him the most beautiful melody he had ever heard. He immediately woke up as soon as the angels had finished singing and jotted down the melody they had sung. In the morning, he wrote the harmony in a matter of minutes, and before breakfast was over, He had completed the music to the carol we know as O Little Town of Bethlehem. Let us sing the first two stanzas found on 230 in your hymnal. The second carol I've chosen for us to sing today is a carol that finds its roots in the African American community and is an authentic spiritual that dates probably from the early 1800s. The carol was first popularized in 1879 by the Fisk University Jubilee Singers, a choir which thrilled congregations and audiences throughout the United States and Europe as it traveled and performed to earn scholarship funds for its students, many of whom were the sons and daughters of former slaves. Will you please join with me in singing Go Tell It on the Mountain, number 251, and we are going to sing 1 and 3. The carol I've picked out for us is one of the most familiar carols that we sing at Christmas time each year. Would you turn in your hymnals to number 245, The First Noel? There's a couple of things. Now, even though The First Noel is one of the most popular carols we have, there are several interesting things about it. First, it's one of the oldest carols we have, dating back at least 300 years, perhaps as many as 500. Second, the title of the carol as you see it in your hymnal, the way we normally see it, is actually misspelled. The way you see it printed would lead you to believe that it's a French carol, but it's as English as Plum Pudding and the Tower of London. The correct spelling is N-O-W-E-L-L, still pronounced Noel, which probably accounts for the fact that somewhere along the line it got misspelled in the first place. As for the correct spelling, well, no one really knows much about it. It may be a Cornish word for Christmas, but it's anybody's guess. Also, take a look at the words to the carol. In the first verse, we find the familiar account of how an angel appeared to the shepherds as they lay keeping their sheep. But then look on at the second verse and tell me what's wrong with this picture. Can anyone figure it out? Yes. The problem is right there in the first line. In Luke, we read all about the shepherds, but there's no mention of the shepherds seeing the star of Bethlehem at all. The star only comes into the picture with the arrival of the wise men. Interesting stuff, isn't it? In any case, let's sing the first two verses of this slightly incorrect but wonderful carol. The Christmas carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. If you know your Wesleyan history at all, then you know that this carol was written by Charles Wesley, the brother of John Wesley, the founder of our Methodist faith. But here's part of the story you might not know. When Wesley originally wrote the carol, the opening lines didn't mention angels at all. The opening lines originally went, "Hark how the welkin rings, glory to the King of Kings." Now, if you've never heard of the word welkin before, it's okay, because I hadn't either. You might be interested to know that Webster defines welkin as the celestial abode of God. In other words, the Wesley carol originally said, "Hark how the heavens ring." And how did the words get changed? Well, it was George Whitefield, another famous preacher of the time, and a friend of Charles, who suggested changing the words to "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." Also, you might be interested to know that the carol was originally sung to a simple hymn tune, and it wasn't until 100 years later that William Cummings, the famous organist of the last century, set the carol to a chorus from a Mendelssohn cantata. Let's sing the first two stanzas of this wonderful carol. Not the way Wesley originally wrote it, but the way we all know it. It can be found on 240.
Thank you.
The last carol I've picked for us today is Joy to the World, which is another one of those carols that we know and love, but which also has a fascinating story behind it. Now, even though we think of Joy to the World as a Christmas carol, and it certainly exemplifies the Christmas spirit, the text for the carol actually comes from the first five verses of Psalm 98, which, of course, was written centuries before Christmas, and therefore, it's only about the birth of Christ in kind of a prophetic way. Isaac Watts, the English hymnist and cleric, wrote and published the words to this carol in 1719, but it wasn't until 120 years later that Lowell Manson set the words to music. But even then, Manson managed to confuse things by modestly adding the phrase, "from George Friedrich Handel," next to his own name. Apparently, this was his way of honoring the great composer. As a result, for the next 100 years, everyone assumed that Manson had adapted the music from one of Handel's compositions. Eventually, though, musicologists studied the carol and realized that not a single phrase of the carol came from anything Handel had written, which meant that Manson himself was the sole composer of this beloved carol. Let's sing verses 1 and 2, found on page 246. Well, thank you all for singing some Christmas carols with me and learning a little bit more or less, in some case, about where those carols came from. I really appreciate all of you spending some time with me today. In the United Methodist Church, we believe that there are five different ways that we give back to this wonderful community of which we are a part, through our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. You can find prayer cards in the pews in front of you, and we will have a prayer time in just a moment. And in a minute, I'm going to call the ushers forward to collect our financial gifts. You have all already given us a gift by being present with us today, and we are so grateful for that gift. The ushers, will you come forward? Thank you.
Please join me in the prayer of thanksgiving printed in your bulletin. Magnificent and merciful God, we come to worship you this morning at the close of 1 year and threshold of a new one. Help us in this new year to recommit our lives to you. May the giving of our gifts this morning bring our neighbors compassion, mercy, and loving kindness. May we, like your Son Jesus, be found dwelling in your presence and love when others come looking for us. In Christ's steadfast love we pray. Amen.
I'd like to invite you to share any prayers that you may have this morning. Yeah, I saw the prayer card and we restructured.
She's not doing well. She's going to have her whole life removed. Yeah.
And remind me of her name again.
She's our neighbor and friend.
Yeah. Connie. We pray for Connie, who is not doing well. It sounds like she's going to have her leg amputated. We pray that God would guide the hands of the doctors and nurses, that they may do wonderful work and that she may heal and recover fully and quickly. So.
Thank you.
John has put me on the spot. He says he wants to pray for my safe travel down there and my safe travel home. I appreciate that. I hear we may have a little ice experience tomorrow in Chicago. So I need that prayer. And I see in the bulletin we have a birthday, right?
Yeah. January 1st.
January 1st. Wow, you're a New Year's baby. Happy birthday. Well, for our candle prayer today, and I think I lost my candle lighter. So I may have to imagine a prayer, the candle lit. But my candle prayer for today was for the joy of spending time with family and friends at the holidays. I think that we have all had the joy of getting to see each other and people who we love very much. So for that we pray. And I am going to imagine a candle lit. And I will have a new candle lighter by the time we get back. Would you take a moment to silently pray? Awesome and merciful God, during this time of the year, we celebrate the fact that you came to earth to be with us, that you took her human form that you might walk alongside us and truly know what each and every one of us feels. You are called Emmanuel, which literally means God with us. Lord, as we head into this new year, we pray that you will be with us. We pray that you will guide us, that we may become your Christmas people, reaching out to those around us and spreading your compassion, mercy, and loving kindness. Lord, today we pray particularly for those with health concerns. We pray that they would grow stronger, that you would walk alongside them, never leaving them alone. We pray particularly for those experiencing cancer. We pray that you would help them and the doctors and nurses to make good decisions that lead to health and life. We pray that you would never leave them alone in the midst of this journey. We pray particularly for those who are in long-term care facilities or home confined. We know that the glory of the church does not end at the doors to this sanctuary, but stretch out and find everybody who you love, everybody who is a part of this community, way beyond here. We pray particularly for all of those who are traveling and all of those who are away from home serving in our military. We hope that you will keep them safe during this holiday season. We pray all this as we pray the prayer you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses. As we go forth, let us do so with joy, knowing that we have indeed received good news that Jesus Christ is born, ready to spread Christmas joy to all we meet. Amen.